Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Back in around at 8 o'clock hour here on a Wednesday. Happy hump day to all of you on a Wednesday here from 96.5 The Fan. Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens, all with you here today. Don't forget, it is...
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba, I'm loving it. Well, hello, everybody. Happy...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Wednesday!
Yep. Fesco and Dusty poll question on a Wednesday. What grade would you give the Chiefs after the first half of the season? An A, B, C, or D? 290 votes are in, and 68.3% of you give them a C.
Good.
1% gave him an A. So Alex Gold voting early this morning before he takes off to Atlantis. 14.1% give him a D. Carrington and Rob also in the voting. I gave them a C. That's where the 68% lies. I think that's a fair grade. I don't think there's anything more that's popped out other than that. Yeah, great win against Detroit. Terrible loss against Jacksonville. Way to beat up on a bad Baltimore team. Way to lose to a Buffalo team. Also, the Philadelphia game. That kind of knocks you down a peg as well when it comes to the grading scale. But I think you'd be... I think you're okay. I mean, you are who your record is. I don't think you should panic. I don't think it's the sky is falling type of mentality, but I think that's, here you go. Let's see what you look like as a 5-4 team and going into a bye week and going on the road to Denver after this. So we'll find out what they're going to do.
Find out what kind of team they are. I mean, we really will. It's response time now. Let's go. I mean, this team has been outstanding as front runners, right? Being ahead of the pack, they've been great. Adversity doesn't really do much for this organization, right? And these guys, they don't handle it the best. So we'll see how they will handle this kind of going forward for the next, eight games, the final eight games of the season, because it's go time now. It's put up or shut up time. And no more can we sit here and say, oh man, if they just play their A game, well, maybe we have seen their A game and it just happens to be a C this year. And I would tell you right now, I don't think even anybody in the organization would give themselves an A based on the first half of this season. That's crazy that somebody went out there and voted an A, but hey, you do you, right?
Yeah.
I think a C is a very fair grade for this organization based on record and what we've seen. A lot of inconsistencies, a lot of average type stuff, some really good stuff, some really bad stuff. That averages out to be meh.
Random NBA thing. Hot name on the trade market. Did you hear about this?
Who?
Ja Morant.
Oh, yeah. It's not going well in Memphis.
They think he could go to the Suns or the Raptors.
The Raptors would be kind of fun. Suns, I guess, with Devin Booker. That'd be kind of cool.
Isn't Ja Morant one of those guys that should be like thanking the organization for kind of standing by him through all his troubles and not turning on the organization?
I don't think it's him that wants out. I think it's Memphis being like, yeah, it didn't work out, and we got a really big guy here that could get us a lot of help in the draft, and here you go.
Yeah, apparently his attitude's been pretty rough, too.
Well, that's also there, too. So.
Well, I mean, the extracurricular, but like in the locker room, like he's just kind of like little Eeyore, and it's like, dude, you're the leader of this team. You're the premier player. We're paying you this money. We need you to step in and step up.
And we had your back, too, when the league was suspending you and all this kind of stuff. All this stuff that you did, and we stood next to you, and now this is the way you're repaying us? I'm just not in on that, man. I know, look, things change, situations change, but I'm always one of those guys, if somebody does for me, I'm going to be indebted to you, man. That organization had your back. They didn't have to have your back at all. They could have done whatever they wanted to do with you. And they stood by you, and now you're going to have a bad attitude towards them. Yeah, it may not be great in Memphis, and not a great town or anything. That's, you know, I get all that, but these guys stood by you, man. There has to be some sort of, you know, human nature there of saying, thanks for, you know, looking out for me. I'm going to appreciate that.
From the 785 says, please the Raptors. Mm-hmm. Grady Dick and RJ Barrett and Ja Morant.
That'd be sick. No, that'd be super fun. that draft class, I'll picture that draft class this morning, I believe. So the Ja Morant, RJ Barrett, Zion Williamson.
Zion's hurt now.
Yeah.
That whole draft class is pretty rough.
Yeah.
Pretty bad draft class.
Really bad draft class. And that happens a lot in the NFL, which could be the case this year, or NBA, but it could be the case this year in the NFL with quarterbacks. Who's the number one quarterback coming out of the draft this year? Is it the kid from Indiana? Are we sold on that?
That or
you got Nussmeier and LSU. I don't know what Klubnik's
saying out of Alabama.
Yeah, I don't know what Klubnik's draft level is. He kind of had a bad year at Clemson. Also, it could have just been like the catastrophic failure from Dabo Sweeney. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Kip Mendoza out of Indiana, yeah. Klubnik out of Clemson, Nussmeier out of LSU, and...
Julian Sain.
Do a lot of those move your guys?
Pavia, he's not going to be an NFL quarterback.
No, that's this year's Dylan Gabriel.
Yeah, exactly.
That's fun for college, you know. Yeah. A lot of times guys are cool in college, they don't translate to the pros, which is fine. But I'm thinking right now, like, going forward, if you're the Jets, what the Jets did yesterday, I think the Jets had one of the best trade deadlines I've ever seen. I mean, and I know that sounds hyperbolic, caught up in the moment. It's not. They received 3 firsts and a second round pick yesterday, guys. Think about that. They got 3 first-round picks and a second round pick by trading Sauce Gardner and Quinnen Williams away, right? The Dallas thing we'll get into a little bit later. What a disaster. Really, what a disaster for Indianapolis, but what a win for the New York Jets. And now they've got this collateral built up. And what do they need? They need a quarterback. You're not winning in this league without a quarterback. I don't care what team you are. You've got to have the quarterback get you the football, right? And then you can start worrying about everything else. Build your defense. Get your Myles Garrett. If you don't have your quarterback, you're going nowhere. The Jets don't have their quarterback right now, but they do have 3 first-round draft picks that aren't theirs and one that is there. They have essentially 4 first-round draft picks going into next year's draft. Are you willing to trade those picks for a proven quarterback? And I think that's what the Jets should do. I think they ought to be on the phone to Cincinnati going, we'll give you 3 first-round picks for Joe Burrow right now. And if you're the Cincinnati Bengals, you absolutely 100% accept that trade.
The top quarterbacks, according to Mel Kiper, in the draft next year are Dante Moore out of Oregon, Mendoza out of Indiana, Lenoris Sellers out of South Carolina. He's pretty solid. Ty Simpson in Alabama, Carson Beck in Miami.
Yeah.
You put him in New York and see how that works out.
Bengal fans are also starting to turn on Joe Burrow now, too.
Why? Because he's the Joker?
Because he's not playing and his salary cap number's big. You know how fans are, right? He's there making a lot of money and he's not playing for the organization right now. He's in year 2 of that $275 million contract. And here's what they're just, you know, quoting Bengal fans. Bengals need to trade Joe Burrow, get some defense. Joe Flacco has shown you don't need Joe Burrow's big contract. Yeah. With Burrow, you'll need to put more money into the O-line as well. Can't do that. And the defense, I'm not sure why you're keeping Joe Burrow right now. The fans in Cincinnati are turning on Joe Burrow. The organization has shown they're not winning or losing because of Joe Burrow. I mean, they're still putting up the points with whoever they're rolling out there at quarterback. That should be eye-opening for Cincinnati to say, we really don't need this guy. We can get 3 first-round draft picks maybe back from the Jets for Joe Burrow. And he'll be good for the Jets because they need, you know, a quarterback there with some moxie, and he'd fit in great in New York City. But I think if you're the Cincinnati Bengals right now, you've got so many holes on defense. You got a lot on offense now as well with the offensive line. Maybe you're thinking about making that trade and kind of restarting your organization. But that's the mode that the Jets need to be in right now. They need to go out there and find that quarterback that's going to lead that franchise. And now they have the ammo to do it. I mean, they're going into this thing loaded, guys. 4 first-round picks in the next 2 years.
It's unreal.
Well, actually, no. It would be 5 first, because they got 2 of their own and then they acquired the other 3.
3, yeah.
So they have 5 jeez. First-round picks in the next 2 drafts. Holy jeez.
They have 8 picks, 8 top 8 picks in the first 2 rounds in the next 2 years.
Boy.
That's what I saw on ESPN this morning.
That's nuts.
What we saw yesterday was Salvador Perez will continue to be a Royal for the rest of his career. This comes from Brad Porter, who quote tweeted the Royals post. Salvy most certainly will play the rest of his MLB career with the Royals. Royals Hall of Famers who played entirely for Kansas City. Steve Busby, Paul Splittorff, Dennis Leonard, George Brett, Frank White, Alex Gordon, Salvador Perez, the next one.
That's great.
You love to see it, man, because you don't see guys stick out their whole entire career for their team. Salvador Perez, now the second greatest Kansas City Royal of all time. Bobby Witt Jr., time is on your side to obviously either get to two or to one. But you look at what Salvador Perez means to this city. You see what he means to this team. Probably the greatest highlight, I guess you could say, the World Series game winner 85. No outs to go is maybe one of the better ones. Gordon's home run, but you always know exactly where you were when Salvador Perez hit that ball down the left field side of the field against the Oakland A's in the wild card game where Donaldson couldn't get the ball. And what's-his-face, John Lester couldn't throw to first.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that in talking about Lester and Donaldson not getting the ball. We were talking at the Jay the other day. I was telling the old guys, I was going to ask if they thought it was the best World Series ever. To a man, everybody did, so which is good, right? And they were talking about the lead off of third, the guy who got thrown out at home. He was only 5 feet off the bag. The third baseman was playing way off the line. That guy should have had a much bigger lead at third base. As he has a much bigger lead, he scores, you know, on that play. And I'm thinking, because you mentioned Donaldson just being off the line, if he's a step closer to third base, maybe he's able to make that play and stop that ball from going into the left field corner and the Royals winning. It's like, it's, they always talk about, you know, sports being a game of inches, no matter which one it is. But it's something like that. Like, man, if that guy was just leading a little bit more in game seven, he probably scores on that bang bang play at home. If Donaldson's one step to his right, maybe he makes that play at third base. And we're not talking about, you know, that, you know, World Series in 2014.
Or so maybe you don't use analytics every single time, because who had Salvador Perez hitting the ball to the left side of the field?
Nobody.
I mean, right, pulls everything or strikes out.
Right.
And then there's a little slap down left field and Donaldson's out of position because he played over and cheated to the second base back.
Exactly. So,
because his coach is doing this.
Yeah, move over! Like he's the little kid in right field, you know? Move over!
I could be wrong, but I feel like Donaldson won Gold Glove that year.
He did, yeah. I know he's won Gold Glove. He's a hell of a baseball player, yeah.
Well, yeah, because I think, what was it, that year he won MVP? Or was it the next year he won MVP in Toronto?
I thought it was the next year.
Okay.
Yeah, because Donaldson would have been on the A's.
Yeah, because in 15 is when he gave the speech. He's like, MVP, beat him. Cy Young, beat him.
Yeah,
it was next year.
Yeah.
Yeah, crazy to think that was 10 years ago.
11 years ago, 12. Yeah, I mean, 10 years ago to win that thing. I mean, it went by in a blink of an eye.
11 years ago was the wild card season. That's crazy.
It's gone so fast, and that's why I get so aggravated when I see people complaining about what the Chiefs didn't do yesterday. Like, we've been living in the golden age of sports, right? And I think a lot of it is fear that it's going to end. But I think you also have that trust that it's not going to end, because we now have adults in charge, right, of the Kansas City Chiefs. Like, it's not ending anytime soon. And the Royals are back on their tick back up. And so we're in a good spot right now, man. It's a golden era over these last 11 years in sports. And what they've done for the last 11 years really should wipe out all the stuff that came before that. And you should not have that PTSD anymore. And you should just be enjoying this ride, because I know I am. Life's too short not to.
No doubt. I want to get into Chris Jones content as well, as we talk about this Chiefs deadline and what it could mean for 95, not moving anybody here. Big steps, big shoes, for the final eight games of the season here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for the Kansas City Chiefs.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty, brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues. Your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan.
Back in on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. Bob Fesco, Mac Morey, Dusty Likens all with you today. Shout out to Salvador Perez, 2-year contract, $12.5 million a year for this year and next. Royal for life. Love to see that. Trade deadline over. We already saw what everybody did yesterday. Obviously, the big focus point yesterday was Jets, Dallas, Colts, Seahawks.
Yeah, that's a nice ad, a nice wide receiver addition for them.
Some say the second most active trade deadline ever.
It's pretty cool.
It's pretty wild.
But that doesn't seem like it was real active, though. That tells you how inactive trade deadline.
Yeah, if you go back and look at throughout the season of trades throughout this season, Micah Parsons was dealt, Joe Flacco was dealt.
I see what you're saying from that standpoint. Yeah,
yeah.
That makes sense.
So a lot of people moving Sauce Gardner, Joe Flacco, Micah Parsons, Quinnen Williams, Raheed Shaheed. I know that doesn't maybe move the needle for a lot of you, but that was the deep threat in New Orleans.
It's a good ad.
And now he's a deep threat in Seattle because of what they have in JSN, Charbonnet, and Kenny Walker. And the Chiefs, obviously the story locally yesterday, held pat. They didn't do anything. They trust in their team. They're 5-4. They go into the bye week. Josh Simmons will be back against Denver. We've been reporting he's back with the team. Mm-hmm. I would assume if he's back, he's going to play left tackle. Juwan Taylor is fine at right tackle. And you have your swing tackle back in Jalen Moore, which I think after watching a sample size of 4 or 5 games of him, that's exactly what he should be. If he's got to fill in a start, which he's done for Trent Williams in the past in San Francisco, he did fine. If he's got to fill in for Josh Simmons for a couple of games, he's fine. Does he have to fill in for Juwan Taylor if he can't stay on the right side of the ball? He's fine. But he's your swing tackle. He gives you that added bonus. It makes Caliendo's position that much more important because now he's the second guy off the bench as opposed to Jalen Moore. But I think the
biggest... And then you don't have to worry about seeing Wanya Morris out there.
No, you don't.
He stinks.
Yeah.
He's bad.
It's not good. And then, you know, it kind of gives you a little bit of a padded insurance on what Kingsley Suamati's injury was. You're like, okay, well, if he can't go, then maybe Jalen Moore can play his position as well. I don't know. I would assume Caliendo would probably fill that role. But maybe it is Jalen Moore. I don't know. But the one thing that stuck out to me yesterday with the Chiefs not making any moves and you kind of go through the deadline, you're kind of sitting there waiting for a Schefter or Rapoport to kind of buzz and see Chiefs are sending. We obviously know the story that we'll get into in a little bit here of the Chiefs calling the Jets and offering a fourth for Breece Hall and the Jets saying, you know, get bent. We're going to stick with a third. If you don't want to give us a third, then we're not going to talk business. And so that obviously dissipated fast. But to me, what this trade deadline means yesterday of not making any moves would tell me that this is going to be a not-so-normal bye week for the Kansas City Chiefs. I think this is a team this week that, yes, they'll be in a bye week, and I'm still kind of curious. I was listening to Alex and Cody talk yesterday if Mahomes is going to be at the big noon game because it's Texas Tech is the featured team. That's where they're going to be at, right? Does Patrick Mahomes make the celebrity pick this week?
Of course.
Well, I don't know. His team is 5-4. Mm-hmm. I know that he is a big supporter of his alma mater out there, and I'm trying to think. Texas Tech plays who? It's a big, big game.
It's Utah or BYU. It's BYU because it's Andy Reid versus Texas Tech.
So, I mean, it'd be awesome if they had BYU and Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes going out there as, you know.
Is College Game Day in Lubbock this week? It's big, but that doesn't mean that Game Day isn't there. Game Day's probably at Vanderbilt versus somebody in the SEC, right? I know Vanderbilt's the bell.
Is it Vandy, Oklahoma this week or is that next week?
It'll be in Lubbock.
It will be in Lubbock this week. Okay.
So they'll be there. You can have your celebrity pick me, Patrick
McAfee
Mahomes.
Will be there. Mahomes is a celebrity picker. Yeah, look, it's Saturday. They're going to work this week, and then they're going to shut it down probably, you know, today or tomorrow and let everybody go about their merry way to get a couple of days.
But I think with them, because I think we can all three agree, and I think there's probably a lot of people that listen, I think the one thing that I would have loved to see is bring in defensive line help.
Yes.
Without them doing that, it tells me that this week alone is a self-reflection week. And more so for like 95, like Chris Jones. Hey, man, I don't know what you can do other than maybe get a game-clinching sack in a playoff game or, you know, another one of those batted balls in a playoff or Super Bowl or whatever it may be to escape what happened in Jacksonville. I said it yesterday. I think that's his scarlet letter. Mm-hmm. I think that's something that we will always go back to every single time. Like, oh, this guy? You expect this guy to come up clutch? Above is a quoted tweet of him watching Trevor Lawrence run into the end zone in Jacksonville. Unfortunately, that's what he's going to have to, you know, hone the rest of this year. But maybe this is one of those self-reflected weeks where you didn't make a trade, you didn't bring anybody in, you did go get Mike Pennell to do what you wanted, to, hey, I want this guy on the team, he's my ride or die. And now it's like, hey, Chris, like now it's time for you to realize you are better than what you are giving us. You know, your grade so far this year is a 60%. You have 1 sack. You have 10 tackles. You're on a projected rate to get 20 tackles and 2 sacks. That is piss poor. Like he's gone from Chris Jones to Piss Jones, and he's got to get back to Chris Jones. And I think if he can do that and he can kind of develop that game again and kind of show people that, hey, I've had a bad few weeks at the office. I need to get back to myself. And this team believes in that. Maybe that morale, maybe that sort of video, maybe that sort of tape that you're watching, you're realizing, okay, this is what I'm not doing right. This is what I need to do right. And this is where I can win the advantage. Something has to happen because they still believe that 95 is not what he is in the first 9 weeks of the season.
And that's a big reason why they didn't make moves after talking with folks around the organization. Like, we believe in our team. Okay, that's great. I know everybody believes in everybody, right? That's why you assemble your teams and the guys around you. But they've got to start now honoring that belief that you have in them. And it really does all start with Chris Jones. And I know he's kind of been, you know, the guy that everybody's been hard on this team. But he's the guy who's had those glaring plays that stand out, right? We were hard on Travis Kelce when he was dropping the ball and causing interceptions and, you know, that kind of stuff. But Chris Jones, it seems like week in and week out, we're all waiting, right? We're all waiting to put the Jacksonville game to bed and not talk about it anymore and move forward and whatnot. But Chris Jones hasn't given us any real ammo to move forward from that Jacksonville game. And I really hate
if you were 7-2 and that was one of your only losses.
No big deal.
Whatever.
We're fine. We've moved past that. But it's such a big loss on the schedule right now for everything that this organization is wanting to do and everything that's in front of them. It may be the first time that we truly go back and like really get pissed about a game that we lost in the regular season, right? The other ones have not really mattered. This one, the Jacksonville game, could be one that ultimately matters. And the lasting image is 95 standing there watching Trevor Lawrence run into the end zone and giving zero effort on that play. And so it's hard for fans, as good as he's been. Again, you do 100 great things. It's the one bad thing you do. It's what fans keep coming back to. And you wonder now if that picture right there, I don't even want to use the term microcosm, but the defining moment of Chris Jones in 2025. I hope that's not the defining moment of Chris Jones in 2025. I hope that play ends up being a microcosm and he has a second half of the season where he's just a one-man wrecking crew out there. But there's a good chance that when this season comes to a close, that we look back at that Jacksonville game and that Chris Jones moment and we say that was the moment that defined Chris Jones this year and that was the moment that defined this team this year. And I don't want that to be the defining moment of the team. So, Chris, get your ass out there and play better, man.
Yeah, and I don't want to, when we talk about Chris Jones in 10 years, to be like, yeah, man, he was great, but that last season when they could have won the, or, oh, yeah, you know, he wasn't that great, and then you have to do, but remember before, and like either way it's going to be a but. I don't want any buts with Chris Jones. Let's just talk about how great he is, and he needs to, that's on him.
Yeah.
7 weeks, whatever, 10 weeks, if you count the playoffs, to alter that. And I don't think it needs to, I think we could talk about what that means. How do you change that? Yes, it's sacks. Yes, it's tackles. But it is just like showing up, being a presence. To me, like if he, even if he's not finishing the plays, like if he's just a presence, wreaking havoc, letting someone else go in there and have a gap to make a tackle. Like I'm not even seeing that. I'm not seeing a push. I'm seeing him get pushed.
And if you think we're being too hard, again, yesterday, Dana Hughes joined us. And this is what he needs to see from Chris Jones.
Need more. I don't think it's a surprise to him. I don't think it's a surprise to anybody in the Chiefs kingdom. Like he had two tackles against the Bills. He's got 13 tackles, two sacks, five tackles for loss on the season in 9 games. Like, I don't think it's outside of the realm of possibility that, or the thought process of, hey, we just need more. You're supposed to be the best defensive lineman in the league. It's not a knock. He's going to be on the Ring of Honor. He's probably going to be in the Hall of Fame. But at 5-4, losing 4 games by one score, the same 4 games that we won last year when we went 11-0 in one score games, we're not doing that, and everybody needs to give more.
So, again, finishes the conversation there with everybody needs to do more, right? Like in Buffalo, Andy had a bad game. Patrick Mahomes had a bad game. Chris Jones had a bad game. Maybe not a bad game. But, again, like this is also there are two things that kind of defend what we're saying. Chris Jones has built himself to this level, this caliber of a player that you are great. You are the best defensive tackle in the league. Once Aaron Donald went out, everybody said, okay, it's Chris Jones. And then maybe it's Quinton Williams, and then it's, you know, Vita Vey's up there as well, and all these guys that are great defensive tackles. But it's like you've established yourself as this guy. So when consistency runs out, then, you know, critique comes in, right? When you're not this level, and it's a massive drop-off, right? Like, it's not just like, oh, he's got 3.5 sacks, he's got a couple batted balls, but he's got a couple of games. That's been 7 games. And you know, I was a little off on the stats. 2 sacks, 13 tackles, only 2 against Buffalo. But when that happens, and then the way you carry yourself, right? You walk into a press conference and you're listening to music on your phone, having fun, like everything's going well.
Right.
And then we see the gameplay, and it's like the talk ain't worth the walk. You need the walk and the talk to be the same level. And right now, like, you're acting like nothing's wrong. And you have an entire city who supports you, trusts you, and everything like that, and radio hosts that know what you have done and what you have become. But all of a sudden now, 9 weeks into the season, this team is 5-4. You look at what's gone wrong. Why do I have a C grade from most people in Kansas City? Well, it starts with these three things. And it is your left tackle was gone. Your middle of your defensive line is not the same guy that he was in the past. Not even half of what that guy is in the past. And, you know, you could also say, well, they just got their wide receiver back in week 7. They got their receiver Xavier Worthy hurt. Sure, those are reasons why you got a C grade. But again, how do you fix those? Do more.
Yeah, and it has to come from your veterans. It has to come from Chris Jones. And that's it right now as we wind down this season. Chris, the call is out. Do more.
I always love analogies, and it always goes back to, you know, the school analogy of being midway through the season and the grade. Like, you get your test grade and you're like, oh, I got a C? I thought I really studied for that test. And then you have somebody be like, well, did you? Like, when did you start studying for that test? The test was Friday. When did you start studying? Wednesday night, I kind of looked at it. And Thursday, I kind of went to the library and I had a couple of, you know, hours to look at it. You didn't prepare enough. So now you have a week off, you know, you have basically your semester break. And now you're like, okay, when I was studying for this project or this test and I put in this effort, this is what I got. Now go back and criticize yourself and be like, yeah, that week in practice, I thought it was going to be this way and it wasn't. When I got to the game, I was thinking about other things and not really putting, you know, all of it into this, or I was, you know, reading the wrong thing because I didn't look at video enough. Or maybe when he looked at Buffalo, he's like, it's the same team we play every year. And it wasn't. You know, you look at the game against Jacksonville, like, I thought he was down. He wasn't. I thought we were getting participation points. You weren't. So the thing about those things, those are all correctable things, I think, that can happen for Chris Jones in this defensive line. But I think the thing about it is that you have put yourself into the standard, right? You are the straight A student. Well, when the straight A student goes into the midterm and they've got a C grade, not only do the parents, Andy Reid and Brett Veach, not only do the other students, Mahomes and not, and all these guys on the defensive side, I don't know why I said naughty, but other guys on the defensive side, and they say, well, what's going on, man? Like, what do you think? Well, I just thought it'd be easier than it is. It's not. It's still the NFL. It's still this. You still have to do things and improve things. And I think that he will do that. I trust in the resume that is Chris Jones. And I trust in the way that he kind of handles himself. Because after the Jacksonville game, shut down social media. Good for you. State that toxicity out of your brain. And then now all of a sudden it's like, well, that was week 5. We're now in week 10 and it's a bye week. And you know that this stuff is out there. And you know this team did not make moves. Because what would that have done to Chris Jones if they went and got a big defensive line help and said, you just ain't got it anymore? Would that have derailed his confidence?
Yeah, no,
or without getting somebody, does that uplift his confidence?
I don't know. That's an interesting spin on it, too, that obviously was being accounted for, I'm
because
sure.
Because what I saw the trade deadline is this organization, this team, this general manager, this president, this owner, this offensive coordinator, this defense, everything in this team says, what we have and what we have built is fine.
And I know that because people in the organization have told me that. We believe in our team. They just have to go out there and play better. Now, we can have all the belief that we want in this team. If we're having this conversation at the end of the year about Chris Jones, it's going to be time to move on from Chris Jones. Because you can't bring Chris Jones back playing this way and then expect him to be better next year. Because he's not going to be. It's father time at this point, right? And if it's not father time, well, you got some explaining to do, right? But if it's father time and he plays this whole year and he just doesn't have it at all this year and he finishes the year with, you know, 4 sacks and 26 tackles, it's probably going to be time to retire Chris Jones.
And again, I think it's also the supporting cast. Where's Charles Omenihu? George Karlaftis, that's fine. He's having a decent year, but he's not blowing away the defensive line.
But again, we're talking about people that we're not expecting to have that big impact on the game. If Chris Jones isn't having an impact on the game, then those other guys aren't going to have an impact on the game because you don't have to give as much attention to Chris Jones. And now all of a sudden, the double and triple teams that we're being told that he's getting every time are no longer. Now you got one-on-ones, or maybe you're doubling somebody else because you don't have to waste your resources, you know, on Chris Jones. It all starts from there. Like the Charles Omenihu's and all these other guys, man, they're minor bit players. You have to have your star players achieve that level. And they may have missed on Chris Jones. They may have extended him for too long, right? And at that point in time, you had to. He's one of your legacy players and all this kind of stuff. But once your legacy players start to go south, you've got to replace those legacy players, and you've got to count on those guys. They were counting on Chris Jones this year to be a big-time player, and if Chris Jones was playing better, everybody on that defensive line would be playing better right now.
I mean, at least you didn't do what Dallas did. Does anybody understand what Dallas is doing? Does anybody understand what's going on in Dallas?
Who's having sex with Jerry Jones?
Himself.
Yeah. I don't
understand the Quinnen Williams thing.
Nobody does. Well, you're making up because you screwed up the Michael Parson thing.
Yep.
That's what that is. You're throwing good money at bad money.
It's a Parsons project. I think it's just weird where, like, you gave back the...
Right. You're square zero, okay. Right? Right? Like,
you're trying to put a square peg in a round hole.
Ridiculous.
Like, I just don't.
And at 3-5-1, you're giving up first and second round picks for Quinnen Williams?
You made a trade as if you are a contender.
Right. What were they doing yesterday?
I don't know. I understand what Indianapolis is doing. Hey, our window's wide open, and it's on a hinge that could break at any point.
Yeah.
Let's go try it now. Let's just do it. We're riding high. Let's just get this now. Let's go win. I understand what Seattle did. They got Shaheed. That guy's not going to move the needle for a lot of people, but if you're in Seattle, you're a football
small
geek,
good move, though.
Right? Yep. You have an over-the-top guy now, so you mm-hmm. can change your offensive algorithm. You look at the Jets. Okay. We're going to rebuild our defense. We're 1-7. This defense isn't winning any championships.
We're not winning with these guys. Get rid of them.
Yeah. And, you know, you kept a few pieces in Breece Hall and Garrett Wilson for now.
Get them a quarterback. Oh, my God.
And
that could be fun.
It should be. And that's understandable. Dallas, I mean, I don't know what you have to do. I don't know what Jura Jones is going to have to do to, like, realize it ain't you, man. Like, you got a 34-year-old middle linebacker, and you got a guy in Quinnen Williams who's a defensive lineman that you had defensive lineman that you got a first-round pick that you gave a first-round pick for. I just don't – I'm sorry if I've gone cross-eyed and I'm annoying.
No, you're giving really me a headache because that's exactly what happened yesterday.
I don't know what's going on. You're not
a
contender. You're not a contender. You got rid of a guy to get a pick. Then got rid of the pick to get a guy. I don't understand Dallas.
Well, he did say yesterday
that fan reaction should be more pissed than the Chiefs fan reaction yesterday that we saw from some
Chiefs. Oh, God, yes, because I don't know that the Cowboys, they may have gotten worse yesterday.
They literally got a guy whose nickname is Cowboy.
Yeah.
And gave away the first round pick they got one for a guy that plays the same, technically, the defensive line. He's not Micah Parsons. I understand that. But again, Quinnen Williams is what, the third best defensive lineman in football?
He's top five.
Yeah, for sure.
27 in his prime.
He set the market that made Chris Jones get paid.
Yeah, but I mean, I would think the picks would be better for Dallas at this point in time. Like, Jerry Jones was so, I'm going to show you that he threw good money at bad money and didn't really get better as an organization. Got worse, I think, as an organization from the Micah Parsons trade to today. Are the Dallas Cowboys a better organization? I don't think that they are, guys. I really don't. I don't think they improved themselves as an organization. But Jerry Jones said on Monday that, you know, our job is to be relevant. Well, you were relevant yesterday, but relevant doesn't mean good. Just because people were talking about you and you were in the news and all that kind of stuff doesn't mean it's a good thing, right? Being relevant isn't always great. The Cowboys were relevant yesterday, but they were relevant because everybody's going, what in the hell are the Dallas Cowboys doing? They basically completed a circle, and they didn't even complete the circle. They went 355 degrees because they were better when they first started drawing the circle. Yeah. They traded their best defensive player. Can't stop anybody on defense, so go get two other defensive players, get back all the picks that you got for this guy, and you're not better than you were 3 months ago. Am I right by saying that?
I mean, you're just not a contender. You're not.
And you're 3-5-1, and you're giving up all these picks when you have high picks. I mean, what are you doing? And now that Green Bay has come back to the pack a little bit, those picks from the Packers are probably going to be better.
Yes. Yep.
Jerry, where are you, bro? Like, what world are you in? BBL stinky.
Big time.
But the Jets, I never thought I'd say this. I'm envious of what they did yesterday, man. For a team, like, yep. if you're the Dolphins or, you know, the Saints or the Raiders, you're looking at the Jets.
Titans,
you're looking at the Jets and you're going, damn. Mm-hmm. Who's the guy we wanted from the Titans, the defensive tackle?
Yeah, Tavondre Sweat or Jeffrey Simmons.
Jeffrey Simmons, yes. Right? How you doing with Jeffrey Simmons? We're 1-7. Yeah, how would you be without Jeffrey Simmons? Probably 1-7. So trade him and get draft picks yes. back. Like, if you're the Tennessee Titans, you got to be kicking yourself in the balls today. Mm. Or hitting yourself with a paddle right there, just knocking yourself, Rochambeau yourself, because you screwed that thing up big time. Mm. Oh, we got to keep Jeffrey Simmons. We're 1-7. No,
trade
you don't.
Trade Pollard, trade Ridley, trade all those, anyone.
Yep.
Snead can't get traded, but he hasn't played.
Has he played since he went down there?
Yeah, he just got hurt 2 weeks ago. Yep. He was back, and then he got hurt 2 weeks ago.
And he was a healthy scratch this year a couple of times, too.
So he hasn't played much in 2 years.
Yeah, he hasn't played much at all there.
Win.
Somebody says Jerry Jones is like that bored fantasy football manager. He gets you bored and makes moves just to make moves.
That's exactly what that is. That's a move to make a move for making a move's sake, right? And that's kind of what the Chiefs would have been doing yesterday if they just made a move to make a move. Everybody, oh, they made a move. Was it a good move? Did you get better? Did you make your organization overall better? Dallas did not yesterday. The Jets probably are the only one that did yesterday. You know, Seattle. Maybe the Chargers by getting, you know, Emily's brother out there to play tackle or guard. And then I saw Mina Kimes about that. She's like, what does this guy really do? I mean, you know, I don't really know if he's a guard or a tackle. They needed a warm body.
I'm the guy disguised as a dude playing another dude playing another dude.
Coming up on the other side, the first college football playoff poll is out. Plus, it's National Donut Day. I don't know if anybody's still donut it today. I mean,
did Binkley bring in donuts?
He'll go get some here in a second. Yeah. The chocolate-covered donuts. What was Maloney's picture yesterday? Two four-packs of chocolate-covered Hostess donuts and 2 pounders of Natural Light.
Hello, America.
Smash.
Been here for a long time, but you're here for a good time, and I respect the piss out of that. Coming up on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. Final segment here in the 8 o'clock hour on 96.5 The Fan. Shout out to Salvador Perez. Somebody had asked earlier, you know, where does he rank in regards to Yadier Molina, two of the best catchers we've seen in the last 15 years? Probably 1 and 2, I would assume. Both have different accolades, right? Salvador Perez is a 9-time All-Star, 1-time World Series winner, 5-time Gold Glove winner, 5-time Silver Slugger winner. A World Series MVP, and he's won the Roberto Clemente Award. Whereas Yadier Molina, 10-time All-Star, 2-time World Series winner, 9-time Gold Glove winner, 1-time Silver Slugger winner, also a Clemente Award winner, but also a 4-time Platinum Gold Glove winner. They are the same, but they are not. Salvador Perez, much better offensively. You look at Yadier Molina, career home runs, 176. Career RBI is 1,022. Obviously, Salvador Perez this year had the magical numbers. He's got 303 home runs, and he's got 1,016 RBI.
Hang on a second here. I'm going to jump in because I just had one of those epiphany moments that I think sometimes have. Branding of being a St. Louis Cardinal has forced people to think Yadier Molina is a better catcher than Salvador Perez.
Defensively, he is. It's not even close.
I don't think many people look at that from a casual sports fan standpoint.
That position, they 100% do.
I would have bet all sorts of money that Yadi had better offensive numbers than Salvador Perez.
Oh, yeah. I mean, batting average, but it's not even that far off. Like, career average for Salvador Perez is 264.
Yeah.
Or I'm sorry. Yeah, 264. Yadier Molina's is 277.
Yeah, so Salvador Perez is a much better offensive player. That to me, when you read those stats, I did not know that. I did not realize that. Mm-hmm. And that is, I do believe, it's the marketing machine of being St. Louis, New York, L.A., Chicago, one of the premier teams in Major League Baseball. They push that narrative. And because the Royals didn't have success for a long period of Salvador Perez's career, I don't think the people around the country realize how good he is. If you did a blind resume right there, I think the majority of baseball fans would be stunned to see that Salvador Perez is better than Yadier Molina. And the one that really caught me, I'll be honest with you, Salvador Perez won world championship, Yadier Molina only 2. I would have thought Yadi played on more world championship teams. Salvador Perez could have come very close to tying Yadier Molina if they would have won it in 14. Then you have 2 championships if you're Salvador Perez, which would have tied you for Yadier Molina. I had no idea the numbers were that overwhelmingly in favor of Salvador Perez. And I guess that's on me, but I look back and I go, that's just the marketing machine of the St. Louis Cardinals.
And I think the reason that got brought up is because earlier we talked about the positive side of Salvador Perez being a one-time franchise player, like only the Royals. Yadier Molina played for nobody else but the Cardinals.
Yep.
And there's a lot of people in St. Louis that really want him to be the manager and Albert Pujols to be the hitting coach, or somehow they're both involved.
Did they hire Pujols to be the manager of something? Did the Padres hire him, or did they go in a different direction?
Be kind of interesting. They hired him after they have Shield there as well. No, I mean, I think that the thing about Salvador Perez is that I think he is one of those Midwestern small market guys that is well known around the league. I think a lot of people, and I mean, for God's sakes, the last time Mariano Rivera pitched in the All-Star game, they wanted it to be Salvador Perez and Mariano Rivera, and they went out there and they had their moment on the mound, and a lot of people remember that moment in the All-Star game, also remembering the time that Pete Alonso and ESPN stole from Salvador Perez's All-Star game moment with the home run derby that we all remember. But I am interested to think that I would assume that if you did a poll of, like, what's your favorite Salvi moment, we try to put the top four together. I think number one is obviously the wild card hit, right? Because it's so ironic to me. Salvador Perez, not really known to be clutch in those situations. Salvador Perez, God, if he could just lay off that outside pitch. You remember how far outside that pitch was on the left side of the plate. If you're a pitcher, it's on the left side. If you're a catcher, it's on the right side. I mean, you need a war to hit it, and he did, and he pulled it down the left field line.
I mean, that was almost in the Chiefs practice facility.
Yeah, you know? I mean, it was over there, and he, you know, he ropes it down the left field line. They come back and win. The next year, he would go on to be the MVP of the World Series. And then you think about all of his times with Lorenzo Cain and, like, being, like, self-deprecating, being fun.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a great day yesterday to see Salvador Perez be submitted into the forever royal category, or bury me a royal category, as he joined so many others in this Royals organization that stayed here their whole career. But no, good day yesterday for Salvador.
And really, when it's all said and done, you know, if John's not owning this team, maybe we don't have, you know, Salvador Perez here. Maybe they end up trading him and free up money or whatever the case may be. So we're very fortunate. And we're also fortunate that Dayton gave him that contract when he did right before he left Kansas City, because without that contract, maybe Salvador Perez is not a lifetime Royal. And I think Dayton realized at the time, Kansas City loves Salvador Perez, and we're going to give him that long-term deal. We're going to give him that option year at the end, and thank goodness that they did, because he now is the face of this generation in Kansas City, right? You've got your Hosmers, you've got your Moustakas, you've got your Canes, you've got, you know, everybody that was part of that little run, and now you got Bobby Witt Jr. and Vinny Pasquantino. But Salvador Perez is the face of this generation of Kansas City baseball, just like George Brett was the face of the generation, two generations, I should say, before Salvador Perez got here. The face of this generation of Kansas City baseball is Salvador Perez, and he will be a Hall of Famer, thank God, with the Kansas City Royals. Have his plaque in Cooperstown, and we'll finally get another Royal in there, and I know that's big for this organization.
Right. Somebody asked, you know, about service time, like how long did Yadier Molina play? Well, Yadier Molina played 19 seasons. Salvador Perez next year will be entering his 15th season. So we would assume that he will play about, I don't know, 17 seasons in the league. Also, you know, somebody will say, oh, yeah, those Rolling Gold gloves, they're not biased. Well, he also, Yadier Molina won 4 platinum gloves as well, meaning he was the best catcher at his position in the entire league of baseball.
Yeah.
So, again, like, let's not debunk what Yadier Molina had. I know that the Royals and all that sort of hatred continues to bleed, but let's not, even though Yadier Molina almost punched me in the face.
I'm just amazed that Salvador Perez is destroying Yadier's stats. Just amazed by that. That was shocking to me.
People are annoying. So I guess we'll see what happens. National Donut Day today.
It is. Big day.
Who's the glazed donut for the Kansas City Chiefs?
Define what you mean by glaze, because I think you and I probably have a different meaning for the glazed donut, because I look at the glazed donut and go, I'm not really caring for this at this point in time, like the Wanya Morris.
See, I don't think that's where I would put that.
No, it's like the main...
Yeah, to me, the glazed donut is the cheese pizza. I think Travis Kelce's a glazed donut. You know what you're going to get. Everybody seems to like it, except apparently one.
Yeah. I don't know, Rob. This guy's washed. Did Carrington talk about me yesterday? I got a lot of texts that he was whining about me.
Let's stay focused. Please, please,
You threw it at me.
I did not throw it at you. I'm saying 2 minutes just here with me. The donut day today. The Long John is Patrick Mahomes.
Okay.
I don't know if there's Bavarian cream in that Long John. Sometimes it's empty. Sometimes it's full. Against that Buffalo game, it was empty. Travis Kelce, to me, is like the glazed donut, right? Like, everyone can go into a store, and the only donut they have left is glazed. You're like, that works.
I'd walk out.
Okay. I'm out. So you guys can discuss because I can't win this conversation.
Well, but you're asking like what donut we think is and
well, you're going by your perception, which is I think the national perspective is that the glazed donut is the cheese pizza, which means it is what it is. It's a staple. Everybody seems to noticeably enjoy it and does not steer people wrong.
Okay,
that's where I'm at. But again, I could say something and be like, "Well, I don't like it." Okay, well, that's fine.
Yeah, but you're asking like if I was going to do like the best donut for me is the old fashioned from Dunkin'. That's Patrick Mahomes, right? But you could say the old fashioned was Travis Kelce because he's old and whatnot. I love the chocolate cake donut. That could be Patrick Mahomes or Travis Kelce. I just don't like the glazed donut. So if I'm ranking like my Chiefs players with donuts or candy, I'm going to do it based on the ones that I like as opposed to the ones that I think, you know, maybe somebody else. Like, the glazed donut for me, for years, I'm like, what does this do? What kind of value is this giving me? It's not filling me up. There's no nutrition here. I think the glazed donut's a waste of time, but that's just me.
Mm.
913 says, I'm pretty sure Chris Jones is the Long John.
That's also fair.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
What was his play called? Swingin' D?
Swingin' D, baby.
There you go.
He's got to earn that. You got to earn that.
Yeah, there
play
better
call.
Be no plays for Chris Jones going forward until he shows he can do his job.
No touchdown dances for you.
No. Not a chance. Coming up on the other side, we will get into what was the fan reaction plus our poll question on Wednesday here on 96.5, The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
This is Fesco and Dusty brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues. Your home for K-State Athletics, 96.5, The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.